Hi, this is Laura with Kick-Ass in Life, where I help you get hired fast, be smart with money, and be a happier and healthier you. Today's episode is about your career. As we are entering into fall, it is time to sort of hunker down and think about your career. So, of course, it's always a good time, but for me at least, when it's cooler outside and you can't go to the beach, you don't mind staying in one weekend to work on your resume or potentially search for a new job. Today, we're talking about how to kick ass in the job search process with a career expert, as well as how to successfully start a path to entrepreneurship. Before we dive in, I know you're interested in self-improvement, which is why I was able to get you a discount for Skillshare. You can get a free full month of streaming classes by going to my site. Go to kickassin.life/tools/partners to get a full free month of these classes, which there's about 18,000 of them in subjects such as design, business, and tech. So let me know what you like to take and so give it a try. In today's episode, I'm talking to Nassar Ahmed, who is a career guru. He runs Career Metis, which is a resource for job seekers and freelancers with tools, podcasts, a job board, and information to help others succeed in the job search and job process. From starting out in a career in sales to running his own business today, Nassar has a lot to share on entrepreneurship, the job search, and more.
You are a problem solver no matter who you are as a candidate, and you go in and in exchange for your time and services, you're paid a salary and benefits. So that's always something. And if you have that mindset, if you always adapt that mindset and you continuously work on improving that problem solving skill, you will not be unemployed for a long time. Even if you get fired or laid off, you will get another job because people will appreciate you for having that mindset.
In this episode, we talk about how it's wise to skip the traditional job search process, how to create a dream career, not just a dream job, how to start a path in entrepreneurship, and how to fall in love with the process, which will lead to the outcome. So you have a couple podcasts. One is the Career Insider podcast, which is great, where you go and talk to people in a lot of different industries and give them an inside scoop of what their job and day-to-day look like, which I think is so cool. But why don't we talk about your career and tell me, what was your first job?
So my first job was, I still remember, it was actually a telemarketing job. I had arrived in Canada in 2005. So as I was looking for a regular career, I wanted to get some experience and get started. So I worked for Sears Indoor Clean Air Services. You know, the people who call you to ask if you want to have your duct cleaned?
Totally.
That was the job, and I didn't last. I wanted to get in sales. When I was in college, I read this book. It inspired me to get into sales. And unfortunately, that job at Sears did not work out. But I was able to bounce back and launch a career in sales. Eventually, I think the first real corporate sales job I had was the Chase Payment Tech, which is a part of JP Morgan Chase right now. I was there for 5 years, and it launched my sales career at that point. Before I left sales, I was in sales for 9 years. So started all with Chase. Sears was... it was an experience, let's just call it.
And sales, I mean, is so important. It's kind of critical, but nobody really talks about it. But it is, you're selling something no matter what you're doing. So you're either selling yourself in a job interview or on behalf of the company. I mean, for you actually selling something, but it's just so, that's a very critical, important skill to have. I mean, what were some of your top takeaways that you learned when you were first getting started in the sales industry?
I think one of the things it's really, really critical because is you really want to do it, not just a job, but you really want it. For me, it was different. I had an engineering degree. I realized quickly that it's not something that I really wanted. I read this book when I was in this final year of my university, and it really resonated with me. It was a book called How to Sell Anything by Joe Girard. He was actually in the Guinness Book of World Record for selling about 1,500 cars in 1 year. So his story really inspired me and saying, hey, listen, I can do that as well. So since then, I read a lot of books, even though when I was not in sales. So for me, I wanted to get into sales at that point. It's something I wanted. So I think no matter what you do, that is really important. You want to do that job, not just get a job, just get any job. You want to be in that career. And I think you sort of covered this. Sales is important, and sales is not necessarily selling. You're solving someone else's problem, right? So let's say Amazon sells products, but they're trying to solve a problem you have. You might want to get some knowledge, so you buy a book. Similarly, you want transportation, so you go to a dealership and buy cars. So sales, at the end of the day, is solving people's problems in different ways.
I love that perspective, and I think it's very important to keep in mind for a lot of different industries. So let's say you're in a job interview and you're trying to sell yourself. You're trying to really solve that company's problems. So you're trying to assess out what their problems are and how you can be the person and the candidate for that. So it's just, I think it is very important to learn how to sell. And I think that book would be interesting for a lot of people to read, just so that they can get exposure to what doing a sale entails, which I think is something that we don't really talk about a lot, but can really help in a lot of different ways.
You did mention something which is important, like in a job interview. Actually, I'm glad a lot of people do not talk about this, and they should. Companies, at the end of the day, they're not hiring you because they need to hire, or it's most companies are not charities. Even charities that hire, they're hiring not because they are nice and they want to hire people for the sake of growing the company. They have a specific problem. They're hiring someone maybe because their bookkeeping is a nightmare, so they need someone to come and fix it. They're hiring someone because their marketing is not up to par, so they need someone to come and fix it. So you are a problem solver no matter who you are as a candidate, and you go in, and in exchange for your time and services, you're paid a salary and benefits. So that's always something. And if you have that mindset, if you always adapt that mindset, and you continuously work on improving that problem-solving skill, you will not be unemployed for a long time. Even if you get fired or laid off, you will get another job because people will appreciate you for having that mindset.
Absolutely. And I think it's trying to identify, especially in an interview, what those issues and pain points are that you can then tell them how you can fit and fill those pain points, solve their problems, make their life easier. But that's it, getting to the interview. I mean, I know that you have experience both being as the hiring manager and as a recruiter, but what are some of the top tips that you would have for someone to sort of get noticed in the job search, either by a recruiter or just to get through that black hole of applications?
So one thing I would always say, and I think this sounds, at this point, it's cliche, but everyone says it, but it's funny how many people don't do it. Job boards and resumes are not going away. I mean, they will continue to be there, but building connections is very important. And people don't usually keep in touch with networks. But here's a rule: of all the companies I work for, even when I was a hiring manager, if it is an employee referral, if it's coming from someone else, they always almost get an interview because I trust people in my company to, they know the culture. So if they recommend someone, that'll skip the first two steps. I will immediately call them in for an interview. And that happens in a lot of companies. If you know someone and they recommend you, there's a high chance you skip the application tracking system, the resume screening, phone screening. You're able to sit in front of the hiring manager. So always, always work on your network, reach out to people, tell them what you're doing. And if you see a company that is hiring and you know someone who works there, actually, nowadays, companies are even incentivizing their employees to refer people. There are referral bonuses and all that. Always, always try to tap into the network. Try to skip the traditional process if you can. But let's say you don't have one. Like, let's say you come to you're brand new to a city or a country and you don't have a network. Then the best thing you can do is really prepare before you apply to that company. Don't treat every application the same. When they look at your application, which is a combination of resume and cover letter, they should know that you really understand the job and you're applying because you want to work there, not just because you're mass blasting multiple companies. So preparation is really, really important. And that really helps you stand out and you increase your chances of getting invited to the next round, whatever that is.
Yeah. And I think something that we talk about on this podcast a lot is doing the things that other people don't do. So what most people do is they do the one-click apply on Indeed and they feel good because they've just applied to 100 jobs in a day. But the goal and the metric should not be how many jobs you apply to in a day. It should be how many actual interviews and job offers you get. So it's about optimizing the which jobs that you want to really go for and changing your resume so that you have the experience that aligns that for that specific job, the cover letter that tells the story of, as you say, you know, really laying out for that company why you're the fit for that company and why you want to work at that company. I think that's really important. It's what a lot of people don't do. They just do their blanket cover letter, their blanket apply, and they don't get the results because they're not doing the things that they need to get those results.
Yeah, that's a great point, Laura, because once you have some experience, like, for example, I have been in the corporate world before. Now I'm a full-time entrepreneur, freelancer, but I got to a point where if I got in front of a hiring manager, even when I was in sales and when I moved to marketing, whenever I had a conversation or sat down, I always moved to the next round. But the challenge was getting to the hiring manager. And there is multiple steps, and that's why it's always challenging. And sometimes you might be the best candidate, and you, because of the application tracking systems, which is now AI and robots, and you have the HR screening, sometimes you don't get through. So you should do everything you can to stand out. Do the opposite of what everybody else does.
Absolutely, because there's so many people that are lazy out there, and you don't want to be a lazy person. You want to do the extra work so that you actually get the results. And you mentioned the applicant tracking system. And so how can you kind of get past that black hole? Like, what should you be doing in your resume, whether it comes to SEO or looking at the job description, or what are some things that you can do as a candidate to help your resume it move forward if you don't have an internal referral to help that process along?
I think the reason I shared my story about getting in front of the hiring manager is it isn't, if you do a little bit of research, you could find out who the hiring manager is. For example, if it is a startup or a mid-sized company, it usually says this role will report to so-and-so. So it's very easy. You go to LinkedIn, type in their company name plus that title, you will find out who those people are, right? So send them a connection request and send them a note saying, "Hey, by the way, hey Laura, I did apply through the channel that was prescribed by the company. You know, I also wanted to make sure that you received a note. I will respect your process, but I just wanted to let you know I applied for the company." So number one, this approach is soft. You're not asking for an interview. You're just putting yourself top of mind that you also applied. So when that person's name comes across, you are a little bit more likely to open that application. So it's a softer approach. You could also be a little bit bolder, send them a note and say, "Hey, listen, would it be okay if, could I pick your brains? I noticed this company, I noticed a few other companies in this industry. I would like to learn what a company like so-and-so does." This is what they call an informational interview. I actually know people in my own life who have actually used informational interviews to get meetings with co-founders, CMOs. Then they had a meeting with the CMO and they impressed them enough where they found that this person was really ambitious and they ended up getting the job. So that's another traditional path.
I want to take a quick break here to tell you about Skillshare. So you can get a full free month of streaming classes for free by going to my site, kickassin.live/tools/partners. You can find classes in design, business, architecture, art, tech. What classes do you want to take on Skillshare? Let me know. Email me kickassinyourlife@gmail.com if you take one, but go ahead and get that free month. I know you're interested in helping yourself. Okay, back to today's interview.
But let's say, you know, you still don't want to do that, or you still don't know who that person is. Sometimes if you're applying for a big company like Google or Microsoft, there are hundreds of people with the same title. So you have to go through the process. In that case, if you look at the job application or the job description, it tells you all the keywords. It tells you all the things that they are looking for. There is a free software called Tag Cloud, so you can actually copy all the entire text of any blog or description, put it over there, and it actually tells you which words are repeated multiple times, right? So what you could do is you could go back to your resume and make sure those words are highlighted in your resume. Similar to in the blogging SEO world, this is what people do with keyword SEO. They just make sure that the keywords are highlighted. You can do a simple hack like this and increase your chances as well. So that's one. That's another thing as well. And the last thing I wanted to say is also don't get disheartened. You never know how good a company is unless you work there. So a lot of people really, really set aside on one company and they apply and they don't get it and they get disheartened. There's like thousands of companies. There are startups that are getting funded every single day. There are companies that get acquired, the companies that are growing. So job search is a process and don't just get caught up. So have that right mindset. And even if you're doing the traditional route, if you with enough persistence, you should be able to break through and succeed. I know that was a long answer. I just was trying to cover the multiple bases.
No, I think that's so smart. And I think that doing those things, as you mentioned, so working the real people and the real connections first, reaching out and doing the cold reach outs to recruiters, because you're doing the little bit of extra research. It's not even that hard to find someone, but not being fearful of not hearing back. That's the worst that could happen. But the best that can happen is that recruiter responds and they say, oh yeah, perfect. Thank you. Because you're making their life easier. They have hundreds of applications to go through. So for the few people that actually reach out and say that they're super interested in the job, it makes the recruiter's life easier if it's a candidate that has meets all the qualifications. But also what you say is so true about not getting discouraged, because there are so many opportunities out there, whatever market you're in. And even there's remote opportunities if you're in a place that you feel like has less opportunities. Like there's so many different possibilities for you to think creatively in your career. And so, yeah, if you hear no from a company, that's a bummer, but there's hundreds, thousands of other companies that would love to have you. And so I think it's finding, being a little bit creative in your research for what you're looking for, not having your heart set on one specific company. I think also a lot of recent grads apply to big name brand companies. I mean, I think I applied to the NBC Page program because I wanted to work at NBC, but everybody wants to work at NBC. So I think being a little bit more creative with the way that you can, where you look for opportunities, so you're not in the most competitive field, because the Page program, for example, at NBC has thousands upon thousands of applications. So why go to one of the most competitive places? Go to someplace a little bit more creative. As you mentioned, plenty of startups. There's so many opportunities out there.
If I may, can I just expand on that? So I wanted people to really get this, because people get into this whole dream job mentality. There's nothing wrong with that. I think I believe in building a dream career, not a dream job, because companies change. So, you know, let's look at something like Google, right? Everybody wants to work for Google, but even Google has its own problems. Like, you know, there are scandals, there are issues, it's all over the news. It's not perfect for everybody. So sometimes you make an assumption because you read on some top 20 list and you assume that's the best company. But it's not always the case. There are people who work big companies that everyone says and they are unhappy. So that happened to me as well. There was one particular company before I switched to marketing, when I was trying to get into software sales, I've applied and gone through the process 4 times over the course of 5 years with this one software company. I even went to the final round twice. Once I got an offer and it got mixed up. But anyway, many ways I'm glad I did not take that path, because I would be in a totally different place right now. And I've talked to people who worked at that company. They were miserable. The best job I've had, it was the company that I recently worked and left. It was a startup. I never heard of that company before. I applied. Even when I went in, I didn't take the job the first time. I ended up going back to that company a year later. It was the best experience, and it has actually paved the path. I would have not heard about that unless I went through that process. So you never know. You never know. Don't beat yourself up if you don't get the quote-unquote dream job. I would encourage people to think about building a dream career. I think, Laura, you're a great example. I don't know if you've shared it on your podcast. You moved to New York. You wanted to get into video production, and you've done so many different things. Here you are. You're enjoying what you do because you built that dream career rather than just focusing on that one company. There's so many companies out there. So I want people to really get that, so they're not getting discouraged if one company doesn't call them back, because, hey, you never know if that is even the right company for you.
Absolutely. And I think I love what you say. And I think it's important to be open-minded about where opportunities can come from. And as you mentioned, for me, I got my start at a very small video production company, and I now work for a huge media company at Discovery. And so I think that that wouldn't have happened right off the out of the gate. I think it took getting started at smaller companies, building up my experience, learning what I liked, learning what I didn't like, and mapping a career from that. But I love that idea of building a dream career. So keeping that big picture in mind as you start to shape what those steps for you look like. So, and for you now, I mean, you're an entrepreneur, which I think is incredible. I love that. I mean, I have this podcast, I'm working on it, but I still have my day job, but I'm so impressed by entrepreneurs who are making it work for themselves. So talk to me a little bit about how you made the decision to take that pivot, and how you found that process, why you did it. And yeah, tell me a little bit more about your path to entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I have to say, it was not what you hear in what you read on publications or the movies that get made, where someone just quits out of college and, you know, becomes an entrepreneur. My story is like most people, the stories that you don't typically hear. My entrepreneurship career is many years in the making. For example, right now, my business is careermedis.com. You mentioned the podcast that is part of the publication. So I have an online publication dedicated to helping job seekers and freelancers with advice on different formats, whether it's content, blog posts, podcasts, in the future, job boards, etc. I have been doing that for 4+ years part-time. I started in 2015, and my evenings and weekends for most of the last 4 years has been working on this, because I saw this could be a potential. And then I realized, in order for me to go full-time, I needed to have this, and this skill set. So when I started, I was working in sales, and within 2 years of that, I realized, you know what, I need to learn a little bit more about marketing. I'm not ready to make the jump. So I switched to a marketing role where I spent the last year at a startup, and all that gave me the confidence to switch recently. But here's the funny thing. One thing, as an entrepreneur, I waited 4+ years thinking that I would be ready. Here's the truth. You're never ready. You even if you launch, after so much experience, no matter how much money or savings you have, there's always things you would have expected. It always takes a little bit longer than you expect. So a couple of lessons for people is, if they really wanted to pursue this path, start something on the side, because you're not mentally pressured to make the wrong decisions. You're able to apply your evenings and part time to something more productive. So the rise of the side hustle, you hear that all the time. And second thing is, you're never ready. There will come a time when you know it is good to go and go ahead. And the one thing that keeps me going is, this is something I truly believe in. I am excited about doing this. I would be doing this even if I'm not paid. So that's when you're ready. That's when you know you're ready to be an entrepreneur. It should be something that you're excited about doing day in, day out, 7 days a week.
That's incredible. And doing and starting that process while you still have maybe a stable income, so that you can really play and experiment and test the waters to have something viable before you do take the leap and do it full time. I think that I was reading Originals by Adam Grant, which is a great book, but he was saying what allows you to be original is sometimes having that stability in another area of your life. So to get started by starting with a side hustle, something on the side, and then building that up from there, I think that's critical, because I think a lot of people do want to be, especially now, a lot of people want to be self-employed, but figuring out how that looks and creating something really strong and viable before you take that leap, but consistently working on your goals, I think, is important. And also what you say about finding something that you're really excited about, because it's a thing that you might not get paid for a while as you do your side hustle, but then as it sort of grows and builds, it does, but you still have to work really hard day in and day out to do it.
No, I just wanted to add one more thing. It's also important to, I really like what he said about the book Originals, because it's a definitely highly recommended book. It's well written. He also talks about doing things the opposite, because what is the traditional path, right? Like, everyone thinks that entrepreneurs are people who hate jobs. So that's the reason they want to be their own boss, but that's not completely true. Like even Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world right now, he started working for a hedge fund and he had a job. He was very successful. Then he decided to make a jump, because having a job, building a strong set of skill set really gives you that confidence. What do they say? 90% of businesses fail in the first 5 to 10 years. But there is a study I realized, like 6 out of 10 businesses succeed when the person starting that job or business had a strong experience in that industry, meaning he or she was working for that industry and decided to make something better. So you are increasing your chances of success if you work somewhere and build a skill set. You're actually getting paid to learn. That's an amazing thing. Who doesn't like getting paid, right? And then you're using that confidence to start a career in entrepreneurship. So I'm hoping people. There's a stigma about entrepreneurship where they just hate jobs, they hate school, you know, they don't want to work anywhere. I want to say it's the opposite. You can do both. You can really be a very good employee, and you reach a point where you see that you can do it on your own, then do it. I just want people to get that, because it actually annoys me when I see people online posting stuff like, oh, I didn't want a boss, so I became entrepreneur. That's not always the case.
Well, sure. And also, you may have many bosses because you have a lot of clients that you then need to serve. So, but I think that's really good advice in terms of how to look at it and reframing that thinking for being an entrepreneur, because what you say is so critical is get that free, not free learning. You're getting paid to learn from a company. Learn what they're doing well, where the opportunities are, where there could be a potential opportunity for you. But I think that being open to learning wherever you are in any industry, I think, is really smart. And you can learn a lot about other things in a full-time job. You can learn about management, how to be a better manager, which will only help you in the future as you build your own personal business. So I think that there's so many different skills you can learn from a corporate job, including communication, management, a lot of those soft skills that are so critical in business to expose yourself to learn as much as you can. So what's the biggest piece of advice you've received in your career so far, either when you were first getting started or recently?
Well, it's hard to choose one, but I think the best piece of advice, it actually came outside of work. So me and a few friends, we used to meet every weekend. We call it the mastermind group, where we discuss what we wanted to achieve. We discuss our goals, we discuss ideas. And one of my friends, Jasper, he mentioned, you know what? The problem is a lot of people fall in love with the results and they get frustrated. They want a result, they do something. But you know what? You should actually fall in love with the process. If you fall in love with the process, the results will take care of itself. And he gave an analogy. Look at the people in the gym. When you go to the gym, there are certain people you see every day. They're probably in the best shape, but they're also doing this for 5 years and they're doing it tirelessly because they actually enjoy the process. You can apply the same with your business, your career. If you don't, like for example, yes, everybody wants to get their promotion. That's coming back to a career here. Everybody wants to get that VP title. But to get to that title, it might take you 5 to 10 years, and you might get discouraged if you don't get it. But if you don't enjoy what you're doing day in and day out, it actually makes the journey not worth it. So I am a firm believer, no matter what you do, side hustle, entrepreneurship, career, no, you have to be excited about doing this. In my podcast, I've interviewed over 100 people, and all of them have one thing in common. They really enjoy what they do. And that's the reason they are where they are, and they're happy to share. So the process is really, really important. Fall in love with the process. And that really changed my perspective. And for me, that's the reason it took me 4+ years to go full time. I'm totally happy about it. You know, some people might look at me and say, why did it take you so long? I could do it in 6 months. I said, no, I built a strong foundation. I enjoyed every part. I'm enjoying every part right now. So that's an advice I would share with others as well. No matter what you do, fall in love with the process.
Oh, well said. So what's next for you? How are you kicking ass in your life?
It's been a few months, but I've been doing Career Matters full time. So right now, so far, all the emphasis has been on content, but it's been blog post, content, podcasts. And I want to go take it one step further. People are coming to the website because they want to learn something about how to dress for an interview, what questions to prepare, what careers to choose. So recently, I'm just announcing, I just started a partnership with the Canadian Job Board. So the next step is, okay, they come to the website, job seekers. The next step for them is to find a job. So I want to start out with a job board, which I am hoping to expand. So that's one thing I'll be working on soon. So adding more breadth in the platform. And one more step is people are always coming to us, coming to me and sending me emails about coaching. I'm trying to build a coaching marketplace as well. So let's say they want to hire someone for building the resume. Instead of just talking to one person, they can choose other coaches, similar to what, let's say, Yelp, like Uber has done as a marketplace for ride sharing, or Airbnb. I want to build that as well and continue to build more depth in terms of content, more ebooks, courses. So there's a lot, there's no shortage of work. My vision is to make it a one-stop shop. I call it the career life cycle. From the moment you want a job to the moment you want to get promoted, all the things what I'm hoping to build is under one roof. So I have enough, needless to say, I have enough work for the next 3 years. It's just a matter of prioritizing and executing.
Excellent. Well, I'm so happy to chat with you. Thank you so much for spending the time. Great advice. And I look forward to seeing all of the great things that come out of Career Metis. So congratulations to you for doing it full time and making that work, and looking forward to seeing all the wonderful courses that sort of come out of it. So thank you. Thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
That's it for today. Thank you to Nassar for all of his wise words. And thank you to giving this a listen. If you like this episode, please rate it, review it, share it. It helps others find it. Here are today's top takeaways. Number one, skip the traditional process if you can. The job search is controlled by AR and robots, so the sooner you can get around them, the better. You can do that by finding who the hiring manager is through a search on LinkedIn and reaching out to them. Number two, create a dream career, not a dream job. Even dream jobs at companies have their faults. You might get there and realize it's not so great after all. So create your own opportunities through other ways. Nassar's best job was a startup he had never heard of, which he shared was the best experience and helped pave the path for himself. Number three, if you're interested in entrepreneurship, you're never ready. It always takes longer than you expect. If you really want to pursue that path, start with something on the side. That way you don't have a lot of extra pressure, which is great because you want to make sure you're doing what you love day in and day out for 7 days a week. Number four, fall in love with the process. Fall in love with learning. Your current job, you're getting paid to learn, so enjoy that process. Yes, we also love the results. We want to make the money too, but it's important to love the process, which will then lead to the results. Number five, we talked about sales at the beginning of the conversation. And I think it's so interesting to learn more about sales. We talked about the book, How to Sell Anything. Sales is really about solving somebody else's problem. So find ways you can utilize that in your next interview where you find yourself selling yourself. Instead of selling yourself, solve the company's problem. Send me a voice message with a link in the description below, or email me kickassinyourlife@gmail.com. Also, feel free to join the conversation on social, on Instagram at kickassin.life. I also have a site where I put all the show notes. That's kickassin.life as well. Yes, that's URL, with additional resources and a deeper dive. And if you're interested in one free month of Skillshare, please visit kickassin.life/tools/partners, where you can find a link to sign up. That's it for today. So go kick ass in your career. Until next time.